So welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Tom Walsh, who is CEO of Stay City. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Adrian. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How are you doing? You all right?
Good, thank you. Yes, very good.
So, Tom, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, can you tell us a bit about you and about the work that you do?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'm CEO of Stay City and co-founder, I guess. Stay City is a service department operator, primarily in Ireland and the UK, even more primarily in the UK, but with an intention to expand into mainland European cities in the next 5 years of our business plan.
Okay. So, Tom, you don't actually have a background in hospitality or service departments and things. I mean, if I'm right, you used to work for Loctite, is that right?
That's right, yeah, I did. I did a degree in engineering and a master's in business, and I spent more than 15 years working in Loctite in their European manufacturing headquarters in Dublin. And that's where I got my managerial experience, if any.
Right.
where I did my, you know, my training how to work in the big bad world. But I guess I always wanted to work for myself, and sometimes describe myself as a frustrated architect, so I liked property.
Right.
Liked property and all that kind of stuff. And began with a single service department, kind of accidentally, but I suppose none of these things are really by accident. And we were kind of bowled over by the number of inquiries and bookings we received. We being myself and my brother at that time. And then we decided to set out a little business in terms of our service departments in Dublin. And I guess our original business plan envisaged moving into European cities, UK and European cities. And that's something like what's happened as we've been at this for a few years now.
Okay. It seems to me that there's, almost by accident as well, there's a theme developing in this the series of interviews that I'm doing, because I recently spoke to a chap who runs a brewing company, and he doesn't have a background in brewing. He has a background in quantity surveying. So no. I mean,
he struck it lucky, a brewing company.
I think he might do. I think he might say that you struck it lucky because you probably got your holidays set for the next few years.
maybe.
But do you think not having a background in hospitality, has that been a hindrance or a help to your success, do you think?
Got to answer like a politician. I mean, honestly, I think it's a bit of both. You know, we had to learn the hospitality stuff the hard way. And I guess if I'd have come from the industry, some of the things that I now know would have been, you know, we would have known an awful lot earlier or a lot better. And that would be around the whole economics, let's say, of how properties work and, you know, the need to have scale and things like that.
Right.
I guess on the good side, though, probably maybe the naivety with which we entered the business, thinking that it was reasonably simple, and having come from a fairly high-tech business, you know, we would have had difficult problems to solve in the past and all that kind of stuff. So probably we thought we were well set up to get involved in this business. I think the engineering type discipline and the operations type discipline, you know, sticks to you, or it's of benefit when you get into a business like this, or any business, I guess. So a bit of both probably is the true answer there, Adrian.
Okay, brilliant. But you're also entering an industry, or you've entered an industry and doing really well, and it's an industry that's typified by, what I mean, an industry, so the hospitality and accommodation industry has been typified by a lot of innovation in the last few years in terms of new service departments, you know, networked sort of accommodation, sort of sharing with people like Airbnb and all those sort of people entering, and as well as big hotel players sort of innovating around their model and then new players coming into it. I mean, what do you think is behind that? I mean, is it just because it's an industry that's ripe for innovation, or is it just ripe for just people want different things?
Yeah, there are a couple of very big kind of movements going on, in particular now in Europe, in the whole accommodation sector. One is the big established hotel brands. They're trying to emulate what has been done in the US. 70% of the hotels in the US are parts of big brands.
Yeah.
It's only 30% in Europe. So they're trying to win market share by converting over you know, unbranded properties over to the big famous brands that we all know so well. In our little niche, again, we're trying to emulate what has gone on in the state in the United States and also in Australasia, where, you know, 7 to 10% of hotel type accommodation is apartments, if that's not a contradiction.
Right. Whereas
in Europe, it's only 1 to 2%, and there's this is what's really driving our desire to roll out as quickly as we can, because we feel in all the main, you know, main cities in Europe, there's an undersupply of our type of accommodation versus the amount of hotel accommodation that is available. And everywhere we open, we feel that by just being quite full everywhere we are. I mean, it's a competitive landscape in terms of pricing, but we feel there is an undersupply for service departments, and especially guys who do it a bit more professionally, maybe with 24-hour reception and that kind of a setup. And we hope we're in that, let's say, in the vanguard in Europe in terms of trying to provide this to our customers.
That's excellent. I mean, you sort of touched on it there, because it seems to be that in this type of industry, that the actual product in of itself can be in danger of becoming quite, if you like, commoditized quite quickly, but it's the service that you provide that sort of makes you stand out in many respects. So, I mean, how have you made sure that your customer service is as good, if not better, than other competing organizations?
I guess what we do is we measure intensively. So every single week we would have 2 customer service reports pasted up on every notice board in the company. So both at the 13 properties that we own, but also at head office.
Okay.
We measure our internal customer feedbacks, and we measure what's being said about us on the likes of TripAdvisor, Booking.com, you know, Expedia, and all of those on online travel agents. So we measure those, and we under the traditional factors like, you know, location, friendliness of staff, cleanliness, value for money, and a number of other factors. And then we quite intensively try to, you know, drill down to see what did we do that wasn't quite right, what could we do to make it better, and try to instill, you know, continuous improvement kind of philosophy in that regard. And we've had good success with it, and we've still more road to travel in terms of getting it right. You're never quite happy where you are, but we I suppose that's our main, you know, in terms of the customer service end, that's our main modus operandi. We quite intensively track it and try to, you know, put in place small improvements to make it better for the next time.
Excellent. And correct me if I'm wrong, you're also, as part of your expansion plans, you're going to do that by direct expansion yourselves, but also through franchise developments as well. And I think you've got your first franchise in Amsterdam, is that right?
Yeah, we have a franchise type arrangement in Amsterdam. In terms of growth for our business, we would like to see it coming in a number of different ways. One is through property ownership, which we've none of that at the moment, but we would like to do some of it in the next 5 years. Secondly, through continuing to lease properties and, you know, take on long leases of principally purpose-built properties, so they, you know, they fit our brand standards and the, you know, the requirements that we have to, you know, that our customers are telling us they want us to provide them with. And thirdly, through management contracts and franchises. So we would like to grow that side of our business. We've always felt, to be credible as somebody offering a management contract or a franchise, you have to have a bit of scale and a bit of track record.
Right.
And I think we're about there now. And I think, you know, over the next few years, we would like to have a bit of a better business mix in terms of leases, ownership, franchises, and management contracts.
Okay. When you take on the franchise opportunities, is that, or new franchisees, I think.
Yeah.
You're the franchisor. Yes.
Yeah.
I've got to get that the right way around. Is that more challenging in terms of keeping up quality and customer service standards? Is that something that you're still learning about?
To be very honest with you, that's something we're going to have to learn. Like we know the theory of it because we've, you know, attended seminars and read all about it and so on. We can see how it works in practice with big corporations who operate primarily through management contracts and franchises. Management contracts give you more control, franchises less control, and the worry would be that you have to influence the franchisees to adhere to your quality standards. And so I think it'll have to be fairly hardwired in the contract, but also it will be a new set of kind of skills we have to develop over time to, you know, to influence people who are working with the Stay City franchise in order that they keep the quality standards up. And I think that's, you know, that'll be a new learning curve for us in the next, in this phase of our business plan, hopefully.
Excellent. So you've now got how many is in your network? Is it like, is it, what do you say, it's 15 or something?
We've 13 properties. 13. And we've over 800 apartments.
Fantastic. And what are the biggest lessons that you've learned over the last few years? Because, you know, you seem to, I mean, you've grown quite quickly. I mean, what are the biggest things that you've learned? And if you had to, had your time all over again, what would you do differently?
We kind of alluded to it there. And this is probably one of the, when we were asking what are the good and the bad parts of not having come from the hospitality industry.
Yeah.
It's really customer service that we really, you know, and we've learned this especially over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. We really need to invest all the time and energy really into enhancing customer service and making, you know, getting sticky customers who like to stay with us and who will proselytize and evangelize and so on and get us out there with other like-minded travelers.
Yeah.
And that's really the part probably we're a bit slow to come to that realization, I guess.
Okay.
But now it's very firmly hardwired in the organization. I think that's something we're, you know, we're fully committed to for, you know, our expansion plans.
Fantastic. And you, when in terms of your expansion plans, what are Stay City's plans and your plans for 2013 beyond? Well, apart from world domination, obviously.
World domination, yeah. Yeah, we've a fairly detailed business plan. We're, I mentioned there, we're operating 800 units. We have about 1,000 units, I mean 1,000 apartments in maybe 6 or 7 blocks being purpose-built for us, really, as we speak, at different stages.
Blimey.
And that will see us opening in the likes of, you know, more stock in London, more in Paris, Lyon in France. And then we're targeting other European cities. So we're reasonably well advanced in another probably 10 European cities in terms of being able to put a, you know, a stake in the ground in cities like, I suppose, Rome, Milan, Florence, Barcelona, Madrid, Berlin, and those kind of cities. So it's bulk up in the mega cities of London and Paris, and then try to provide our accommodation to our, you know, our followers in other European cities, and that's what we're aiming to do.
That's fantastic. Well, I mean, that sounds really great. But having 1,000 units in the pipeline, I mean, that means you're going to, well, more than double in size in based on your existing pipeline. So, you know,
yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It sometimes appears slow because when you sign them, it takes a couple of years before you get the keys.
Yeah.
To be, you know, planning permission and construction and all that kind of stuff. But we're well and truly on our, basically the 2 years have passed and we're going to start opening at a steady rate probably from spring of next year, 3 or 4 properties a year we would expect.
Wow, fantastic. So, Tom, is there anything else that you'd like to add or top tips that you've learned as part of your Stay City journey, for top tips you'd like to share with our readers and listeners about things to do if they're thinking about starting up and then growing and scaling their businesses and you know, just to something that you wanted to share with them?
Other than to say, like, really, I suppose, like the well-worn adage, like, it's probably, is it 99% perspiration and
1% inspiration?
Inspiration. I mean, it is that. It just be, you know, don't be knocked back, because there's a lot of, you know, forces, not particularly malevolent now or thought out, but there's a lot of, you know, bureaucracy and forces trying to tell you that that won't work and that can't be done. Just to stick with it and go for it. And I think it can be done. You know, your aspirations and your intentions for your business can be realized. The value of having a very strong team behind you, of course. Nothing can be done without being able to, you know, get support from your colleagues and also have the trust in them to do their bit well and not to second guess and so on. They're the main things, really.
And so there's always one question that I end these interviews on, and that is, is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug, Tom?
Absolutely. just the simple concept that, you know, for a whole maybe 20 or 30% of the traveling public, If you try service departments from professional providers like ourselves, where you have a 24-hour reception and all that, and you're used to staying in hotels, we believe you won't go back, because there are just some very simple reasons why they have advantages over hotels, like additional space, self-catering, your ability to put your feet up in the lounge or in the living room and, you know, watch TV in more comfort than you can in a hotel room. And if you try us out, I think you'll find out that we have some distinct, simple, easy to understand advantages over hotels. So give us a go.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks.
That's
Thanks
brilliant.
Very much, David.
All right.